Morning, kids. How's it going this morning? It's so good to be here with you this morning. And, you know, my upbringing as the son of an Army captain who later became a Shell oil executive was focused on one thing. My mom and dad, with great effort over many years, had as their goal that I would become an adult. Now, if they were here this morning and they saw the friends that I decided to bring with me to the service and saw how in such an indistinguished way I came up on the stage, they would probably believe that something had gone horribly wrong. You know, and for all of us, Pam and I, my wife Pam is back at home. We have three adult kids, and for all of us, whether it's our own physical children or adopted children or spiritual children, we have that same kind of goal, don't we? We have a longing that our children will become adults. But what if we're wrong? What if the true goal of maturity is not adulthood, but childlikeness? Well, Jesus had some strange ideas, and it's this idea that we're going to come this morning. We're going to take a journey to Sesame Street. Jesus thought that weak was better than strong. He believed, actually, that small and least was better than big and great. How about us? Why is it that we value big over small? G.K. Chesterton told a parable that goes something like this. A young boy was given a choice. He could either be gigantic or he could be minuscule. He chose to be gigantic. His head brushed the clouds. He waded the Atlantic like a pond. He scooped gray whales in his hand and swished them around like tadpoles. He strode in a few bounds from one side of the continent to the other, and he kicked over a mountain range like an anthill just because he could and he didn't feel like stepping over it. He plucked a California redwood, whittled its tip, and used it as a toothpick. When he got tired, he stretched across Nebraska and Ohio, flopped one arm in the Dakotas and the other in Canada. It was magnificent. It was spellbinding. It was exhilarating for about a day, and then it was boring. It never dawned in that boy that being small might be better than being big. Who would have ever thought of that? And that gigantic boy, in all his boredom, daydreamed about having made the other choice, becoming small. His backyard would have become an Amazon rainforest. His gerbil would have hulked bigger than a woolly mammoth, and he could have ridden the back of a butterfly or gone spelunking down a wormhole. A tub of ice cream could have become a winter wonderland of magic proportions. Life would have been so much interesting if he had chosen smallness. You know, the Navigators are an organization that our main thing is helping people come to know Jesus and follow Jesus, and then helping them grow to the point where they can help others also in a generational ripple of the grace of God. Wooddale Church has been a wonderful supporter over the years of the Navigators, and I know many of you know Navigator staff and have supported them, and we so appreciate the support of Wooddale. And through the years, we've continued to grow, and we're in 110 countries, and we're on college campuses and military bases. We work in the cities of the U.S. and around the world, working with everyone from business and professionals to the poor. Focuses on places like even among 20s, people in their 20s. We have about 350 missionaries that go out from the U.S. around the world as well. But no matter where we do ministry, we have the same focus. And the focus is on helping people become wholehearted Christ followers. To know the scriptures and to grow to the point where they can help others grow as well. And certainly, as a group of Christ followers here this morning, or at least people that are seeking Him out, we want to focus on a foundational attribute of what it means to follow Jesus. The Bible makes it clear that one of the foundational attributes of anyone that desires to follow Jesus is humility of spirit, dependence, smallness. And probably of all the truths that we encounter when we look at the life of following Jesus, this one has got to be the most perplexing. Because it goes right up against our culture. And it goes right up against our natural inclinations. But it's not graduate level stuff. In fact, if you're helping someone that's new to the faith, I would encourage you to have this be one of the first things that you talk to them about. This metaphor of child. So it should come as no surprise to you yet this morning that this metaphor we're talking about, that Jesus saw as foundation to the faith, is childlikeness. And we're going to look at two snapshots of our identity as children before the King. Two snapshots from the Scriptures that illustrate our identity as children. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to You now and ask that You would help us clear the things that we bring with us into this time with You this morning. And I ask that You would speak to us and You would help us to hear even one thing that pertains to our life, and that You'd touch us and touch each of us here and speak to us and help us to be able to embrace our identity as children. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So two snapshots that illustrate our identity as children. The first snapshot we find in Matthew 18, 1-4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The disciples had a very tough week the week before. If you look at the context of this scripture, they had just returned from traveling ministry, had just returned home to Capernaum, there near the Sea of Galilee. And it had not been a banner week. They were insecure, and their egos were frail. Why? Well, just that week before, you could look at what they encountered. They had not had enough faith when a crowd gathered and needed to be fed. In fact, the disciples said, "Go away." They shooed them away and didn't have faith that Jesus would be able to feed them. They had gotten an F on a test that Jesus gave them about this concept of the yeast of the Pharisees. And then Jesus had even blasted Peter along the way and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter, James, and John had gone up on a mount with Jesus, where Jesus was transfigured. And they had no clue what they should do when they were up there. And the disciples that were left down on the plain didn't even have a mustard seed of faith to be able to cast out this demon from a demon-possessed boy. It had been a hard week. And they're walking on the road, and Mark tells us that they're arguing about who should be greatest. Now, isn't it true that when we're feeling the most insecure, when our egos are shattered, that we're just hoping that we can put someone else a little bit lower than us? I don't know if you've ever felt that way or acted that way. The disciples were. And so they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, I've got a question for you. We've been talking." And he says, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answers their question and provides this great metaphor. Jesus pulls this little kid out in front and says, "See this child? Guys, forget greatness. If you don't become like one of these, you can't even enter the kingdom of heaven." Whew. Now, what did Jesus mean? This word for child that Jesus used was a particular Greek word, which means infant, a small child just up to the age of 5. So Jesus' idea that he's trying to get across to the disciples is this idea of smallness, immaturity, helpless dependence. So the first snapshot that we look at this morning of what our identity as children is humble child. Humble child. Each month I get a chance to get away for 2 or 3 days for prayer, study, and preparation. And a while back I decided, as I was considering this passage and considering this idea, I thought, it could be kind of cool to go hang out at a preschool. See what 2 and 3-year-olds really act like. Now, it's been a while since our kids were that age. We've got a grandson that's 10 months old, so we'll have one here before too long. But I went and hung out for a day at a preschool. Our friends, Sean and Lynette, have a 2-year-old, and she goes to this preschool. So I called him up on the phone and said, hey, can I go hang out at Margaret's preschool? And it just so happens it was going to be Margaret's birthday. And I went, and we're good friends with them, and Margaret knows me well. And I said, Margaret, can I come and hang out at your preschool for the day on your birthday? And she got this huge smile, and she says, yeah. And so I got to go. I got permission from the right sources there, obviously, and show up at the preschool. And I'm in a throng of 2 and 3-year-olds for a whole day, just sitting, watching, taking notes. And I made 3 observations as I sat there among these 2 and 3-year-olds. That certainly could be what God's intent is when Jesus was talking to the disciples. These kids were dependent, they were learners, and they were expectant. So when we think of this first snapshot of humble children, those are 3 characteristics. First, as humble children, we come to God as dependent. What's the opposite of dependence? Self-sufficiency. The need that we may have, and I certainly can fall into this, the need that we can have to come across like we've got all the right answers, that we're in control, that we need to make sure that the people that are around us know that we're in control. There's nobody here that ever resembles that, right? Okay. Am I getting too personal? Rather than coming to Jesus in weakness, being willing to express that we have needs and maybe that we don't have our act together. Pam and I, this summer, came to a new realization of that. We have a special opportunity that's going on right now. You may have heard of the Colorado wildfires. June 26th, a fire that was burning for a couple days, blazed over the mountain, came down into a neighborhood in western Colorado Springs, and burnt 350 homes. Guess whose one of those homes was? Us. And so God has a new opportunity for us to learn dependence at a new level. And we certainly, over these months, have been finding that we are not self-sufficient, that we do not have all the answers, and that we need to cling to Him and cling to the people that God has put us around us. Now, most of us know that it doesn't take a fire burning down your home to get us to that point, does it? No. In fact, I would guess that many of us today that come into this auditorium carry with us things that are humbling us, that are causing us to think about, maybe I need to come to God in greater dependence. Well, humble children are dependent. They're also learners. When I was with those young kids that day in the preschool, that was one of the things that was obvious. I don't know if there's any preschool teachers here, but I'm guessing they have these little carpet squares that you have the kids sit on, and I'm certain that that's kind of a strategy to try to keep them in one place, okay? So you can imagine 20 little kids sitting on carpet squares, and the teacher pulls out this box. And as soon as the kids see the box, they can say, I've not seen that box before. There's something interesting here. And you can see their little 2 and 3-year-old engines get going, and they're scooting forward, almost scooting off the squares, getting up there. And then she pulls the box off to reveal all kinds of nuts. Brazil nuts, cashews, almonds, peanuts, you know, nuts of all different sizes. And the kids just lost it and are up there, you know, off their carpet squares, needing to get up as close as possible. Why? Because little children are learners. It's hardwired in them. You know, a little later when little Margaret, the birthday girl, gets to sprinkle fish food in the aquarium on the day of their birthday. And Margaret was so pleased that she got to do it. And by the time she got up to do it, you know, there's six other little faces pressed up against the glass of the aquarium. Little kids, learners, wanting to see what the fish will do. Which one will eat first? Will that one that's behind the rock come out and eat? Learners. Children are learners. And my prayer this morning is that we would come here and that each one of us would have the spirit of a learner, like a little child. And that we would all come away from here maybe having heard one thing that God wants us to act on or to consider. Well, humble children are dependent and they're learners, but humble children are also expectant. If there was anything these little kids were, it was that. You know, when they went to recess that morning, they go out and right next to the preschool is this kind of farmyard that they've got set up with goats and chickens and different things. And the kids every day apparently beeline over to where the chickens lay their eggs to see, will there be an egg there this morning? They're expectant. And then when they get back into the room, the teacher says, I wonder if the butterfly, if a caterpillar turned into a butterfly this morning. There's this expectancy. Pam and I were at a wedding not long ago and of a daughter of some friends. And as the wedding began, the music started, and the ring bearer and the flower girl came around the corner to come down, I noticed a little boy that was in his dad's arms right across the aisle. And as the flower girl and the ring bearer came down, this little boy couldn't contain himself. He cries out, "Yay!" You know, all the parents are like, "Hey, we're not in a football game. This is supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be ratcheted down here. Get control of your kid." No. And then the bridesmaid comes down, and the little boy just couldn't be, you know, "Yay!" And you see the dad tighten up, you know, the arm grip and, "Ah, come on, get control." Well, then, you know, when the father and the bride turn the corner and the wedding march starts, this little boy comes unglued. "Yay!" And probably a lot of us adults that were in that room that day said, "When did I lose that?" You ever wonder that? When you lost your childlike exuberance. A number of years ago, I came to realize that I really value being an adult. There were issues in Pam and my marriage that were not going away. There were some issues going on between me and a couple of our kids, challenges. And what I began to discover is that in my marriage challenges, and in my relationship with my kids, I continually chose to depend on myself and my ability to figure it out, my ability to get it right. Things didn't get better, mostly because I had such a need to live out of what I already knew, rather than admitting to God and to Pam and the kids that I didn't have the answers. I came to realize that my independence and my self-assuredness were blocking me from having the kind of relationship with Pam and my kids that God desired and really that I desired. I needed a huge dose of humble childlikeness. And I began, with God's help, to choose dependence on God, choosing to be a learner from Him and from Pam and from my kids. And it's changing my life. And it certainly helped hugely to heal our marriage. And it's helped me in my relationship with my kids. I'm not there yet, but I'm growing in this dependence, being a learner, and expecting God to do great things out of that. So this first snapshot illustrating identity as children, Jesus is calling us to be humble children, dependent not self-sufficient. Learners, not needing to have all the right answers, but being able to learn something new. Expectant for what God's going to do next. The second snapshot illustrating our identity as children this morning, as we take this trip to Sesame Street, is found in the good news of Jesus. In the gospel, God does not desire for us to stay helpless. This second truth of our identity is one that grows out of our humbly coming to Christ. And in Galatians 4:4-7, we read, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons or daughters. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir." So the second snapshot illustrating our identity as children is royal child. While we are to come to God as humble children, God also says that we have the destiny of becoming his sons and daughters, adopted children, princes and princesses. Just like the child princes and child princesses in Narnia. See a picture here. They were able to live with confidence because they knew they were serving the king, Aslan. Well, we not only serve the King of Kings, but we can say that he is our father and we are his adopted children. So we come before him in confidence. No matter what you face today as you come in here, you have the confidence as a child of God, as one who has come to faith in Christ, to tackle whatever God brings your way. God is holy and majestic, and he cannot be approached by sinful humanity. But because of what Jesus has done by shedding his blood, which we're going to celebrate this morning, he makes entree for us to come before him, to be his kids, to have access to him. Hebrews 4:14-16 says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." And then verse 16 says this, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Number of years ago, Pam and I lived in Denver. I was a youth pastor, and I would give the same kind of message about the confidence we have as King's kids have to come into his throne room. And Pam would have our two-year-old daughter in the back, and about this time, she'd release her to come running up the aisle, jump into my arms, illustrating the same spirit that we can have with our Heavenly Father, that we can run, throw the throne room doors open and run into his lap and have complete confidence and access to him. So as sons and daughters, we can have that kind of confidence. So there's these two snapshots that we've seen this morning. One is that we are called to Jesus as humble children, those that are dependent, learners, expectant. And then second snapshot, that we can come to him as royal children. As we close now, or as I close this message, I'm going to ask you to consider, what is it that you bring this morning? What is the burden that you may carry that you need to bring to your Heavenly Father as a child? It may be something in a relationship. It may be something in your marriage. It may be a challenge in parenting. It could be a sin that has you captivated. It could be a health issue. What is it that you bring? Consider it now. And I'll pray. Abba, Heavenly Father, we all carry things that we so easily are tempted to want to carry alone and be self-sufficient. But this morning, we come to you as humble children. And we take this issue that we're wrestling with. and we bring it to you in dependence. We want to learn. And Lord, you're telling us that we can come to you with confidence to receive mercy and grace to help in our time of need. So we come before you. Lord Jesus, help us. We bring this before you and we trust you with it because we know we can as our heavenly Father, Lord God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.